The Gospel of the Lord. So as Father said, today is St. Patrick's Day, and we have that beautiful stained glass window of the glorious Apostle of Ireland, St. Patrick. I'm not going to do a homily on St. Patrick because it's the fifth Sunday of Lent, but also because in the bulletin today, Father has given me the honor and the privilege to write a message once a month, and I do a little thing in there on St. Patrick and a little bit about the parish. And then on Facebook, I give a 15, 20 minute talk on the history of the parish and St. Patrick with that beautiful image behind me. So you can see it there. But I do have a good Irish joke for you. It's called The Confessional of Father O'Douglas. All right. So here's how it goes. Patty O'Neill hasn't been to confession in 10 years. And he said, oh, gee, I need to get the confession. So he comes down to his favorite church in Akron, Ohio, St. Vincent de Paul, and he wants to go to confession to Father O'Douglas. And he walks to the confessional, he opens the door, and he can't believe his eyes. There's a shelf of the finest Irish whiskeys. And the second shelf are the finest Cuban cigars. And on the third shelf are the best, finest chocolates in the world. He's like, wow, look what I've been missing all these years. What they've done to the confessional. And just as he's about to enter in, here comes Father O'Douglas down the aisle. And he says, Patty says, Father, I love what you've done to the confessional. And Father O'Douglas says, get out of here, you idiot. You're on my side. Now, after Mass, everybody can check over to see what's in there. So our gospel today is about seeds. Seeds. And I want to talk about that in two different connotations. The first one, planting a seed that bears fruit. And the second connotation is letting seeds die so that there can be spiritual growth. So the first one, when our grandson was a little guy, before computer gaming became so popular, he had this keen interest in playing board games. So we spent a lot of time playing board games, but there was this one he really liked. And it was a SpongeBob game called Operation. And there were little holes in this board. And you had to take like a little prong, like a pair of pliers, and you had to reach down into the holes on the board and pick out the parts, the body parts, of SpongeBob. But you had to be real careful because if the prong hit the side of the circle, this loud, obnoxious buzzer would go off, and lights would flash, and you lose your turn. Here's the thing. I couldn't beat him. He won every time. I don't know, maybe my hand was too shaky or what, but he was really good at it. And I was basically dying a slow death to that board game and every board game we played. So tired of board games, by the time he was about 11 or 12, I bought him a chess set, thinking, well, he won't be smart enough to beat me. I never won. We played chess for about, I bet you we played chess at least weekly for a couple years, and that kid was smart. So I died a slow death of chess. And then we switched to billiards. I got a pool table in the basement. I'm thinking, you know, I spent a few weekends in pubs when I was in high school and college. I know my game of pool. Guess what? He was a natural. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't beat him in pool. So last month he turned 20 and I turned 71. He's a video gamer. I'm not into that. But I found that he likes another game, a good old game that's very traditional. I've always found it Irish pubs. Darts. And guess what? As of last week, he has won 75 rounds and I have won 3. Seriously, I don't know what it is with this kid. He's just got great eye-hand coordination. He's smart. I can't beat him at anything. I'm dying a slow death to all these games, but here's the important thing I want to bring out. Even at the death of board games and billiards and darts and everything we play, we are spending fruitful time together. What does Jesus say in this gospel? Amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat dies, it produces much fruit. And all those things that we did together, my grandson and I, they've all died out. We don't do any of that stuff anymore. The only thing we do together is go fishing. He loves to fish. But I look at those as fruitful times because what was created out of that was a bond that will last forever. And when I'm long gone, you know, I'm sure he's going to think back about those times, you know, making memories, as they call it. That's the bond that we form. That's the seed, I think, that's planted. And for all of us, it may not be time with your grandchildren, your children. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's some small, insignificant thing, like, like an ordinary thing. You know, maybe it's visiting a nursing home, taking a meal to a neighbor in need. Maybe once in a while it's just helping that guy on the exit that's standing there with the sign. I don't know. There are little things we do that plant seeds in people. Or a visit to the sacrament of confessional, the confession, without the goodies in there. Or a holy hour, just come a little early for Mass, our mission. There's just so many ways we plant these seeds. These are the places where a kernel of wheat, as Jesus says, bears a lot of fruit. When I preached this once at the children's, at the school Mass, and I brought seeds, and I was passing them through. And I said, you know, a seed looks dead. It's got this hard cover. But if you take it back to the school, to your science class, and you break it and look under a microscope, you'll see it's green on the inside. Then I was telling the kids that in National Geographic magazine, there was an article about the pharaohs and pyramids, and they found seeds that were like 6,000 years old. And they cracked them open, and they were still green, and some of the scientists planted them. And plants grew from seeds that are that old. So that's the first part of planting a seed. Now, the more challenging, serious part is this dying to self to produce much fruit. That's a whole other matter that Jesus is calling us in our spiritual journey. Dying to the urges of the sinful self, establishing a clean heart, a good conscience, a covenant relationship that was talked about in that first reading, that's a lot more challenging than creating memories with a grandson, isn't it? And the older I get, the more comfortable I become with my lifestyle. I get into routines, I set my ways, I enjoy the comfort and security of my life. I don't like rocking the boat. I've been in this parish for 2.5 years thinking that was going to be an easy ride. But you know what? I've been deeply challenged in this parish. You know why? Because this parish has some things no other parish has that I know of. And let me tell you something. In my 30 years as a deacon, I get around to parishes. I'm a master of ceremonies. They have a group here for the LGBTQ. I go to those meetings. That is groundbreaking that we get 30 people from our gay community or have children or grandchildren or kids that are gay and to hear those stories. That's groundbreaking for me. That's breaking the hard shell, the seed. You know, I used to think, oh, those people, right? No, they're our people, Jesus people. And then I go to the black-white dialogue. Oh my gosh, to hear the stories of our black brothers and sisters and how they've been marginalized by the church and by society. And in a million years, I would have never read the book, White Fragility. I'm a fragile guy. You ought to read that book. It's an eye-opener. But those are seeds that are being planted in me, and it would have probably never happened had I not come here. We have a great parish and a great pastor. And at age 71, I'm still learning. I'm still growing. And it's hard because you have to, you know, break that seed of your old prejudices and the way you think. I think that's what Jesus is talking about here. It's a great symbol, isn't it? We have to die in order to bear fruit. That's very challenging. It's a call to conversion. It's dying so that something else will grow. The old self, the old routines, the old habit, the sin, the cheating, the lying, the prejudice, the racism, whatever it is, we all have something. Nobody's perfect, right? But we come back again and again and again. We're nourished in the Eucharist. We're nourished in that confessional. You know, that's wonderful, isn't it? We're on a journey. We fall one step backward, two steps forward. On we go. So in this process of aging, whether we're 20 or 71, there's more. I like the saying, the best is yet to come. Not only in this life, but certainly in the next life as we cross over. So as we get closer to Holy Week, just, you know, as Father says, take a quiet moment and think about that seed that needs to be planted, that hard shell in your own soul, in your own life. And if you haven't been to Father O'Douglas Confessional in a while, it's not a snack shack, but spiritual fruit will come forward. Amen.